What were your thoughts? You were there in Munich. What were your thoughts about these data? It was hard. I've heard a lot about toxicity too, but at least they were talking about dermatologic toxicity and hyperglycemia, kind of an on-target type thing. What was your take on all that?
So I think the field has definitely come a long way. I think our very first proof of concept was on the BOLERO-2 study when the very first agent from this pathway, everolimus, was approved for metastatic disease in combination with exemestane. And the hazard ratio there was 0.45 for the combination, which was 7.8 months in the second-line setting. Patients had had up to one line of chemotherapy there. But the idea was that perhaps if you inhibit the pathway downstream at mTOR, you could lead to upstream activation by releasing the negative feedback and cause further activation of the pathway. So if you inhibit upstream, would you be able to then have better efficacy and perhaps less non-target toxicity? And that led to a series of agents that entered clinical trials, including pan-PI3K inhibitors and multiple alpha-specific PI3K inhibitors. And as Ruth was saying just earlier, that we had the BEL data, and that was not very impressive in terms of the progression-free survival benefit. We saw that in the pre-mTOR inhibitor population in BEL-2 and post-mTOR in BEL-3. But the progression-free survival benefit was very modest, in the order of about 1.5 months for those agents, and toxicity was really high. Then came the beta-sparing agent, tacelisib, and we heard results of that from ASCO, from the SANDPIPER trial. Again, just a 2-month improvement in progression-free survival with a lot of toxicity, which made it very challenging and very discouraging for the community who's been enthused about getting a better agent, so to speak, in clinic. And then this at least made us feel like, okay, finally, we have an alpha-specific PI3K inhibitor, which hopefully will have less toxicity compared to the other agents, and did, in fact, in a PIK3CA mutant population. So they looked at both PIK3CA wild type and PIK3CA mutant patients on this trial. Granted, very few patients, about 5 to 6%, had prior CDK4/6. So we really don't know what that would mean for our current clinical practice, where patients are progressing on a CDK4/6. Having said that, this is a biomarker-enriched trial for a PIK3CA mutant population, where we did see a progression-free survival benefit from 5.7 months to 11 months, favoring alpelisib to fulvestrant. So I was a little encouraged by these results finally, after feeling like they were almost dying, as Ruth was saying, in terms of the development of PI3K inhibitors. They did have a significant toxicity, 36% grade 3 hyperglycemia, an on-target side effect from these agents, and a 10% grade 3 rash, but all manageable with prophylaxis.
So, we hear, for our point of view, it's kind of confusing, I think, for the average oncologist. We hear about PIK3 inhibition, PI3 kinase inhibition with lymphomas. We've heard of, hyperglycemia, you see that with, for example, capanlisib. I was curious, you mentioned, I didn't really think about everolimus in that respect. Do we know whether or not everolimus is more beneficial if you have a PIK3 mutation?
So that has been looked into, actually, and PIK3CA mutations does not predict a benefit for everolimus, so you can get a benefit regardless of PIK3CA mutations at baseline from everolimus.
So, Sarah, any thoughts about whether or not this is going to be enough data to actually see this drug become available?
I do think it is impressive. I agree, seeing an increase from 5.7 to 11 months is impressive. Although, I do think the toxicity is pretty profound. 36% grade 3, 4 hyperglycemia is a lot. And certainly we do use metformin in these patients as needed. The rash, 10%. We've given these agents in clinic, and it's tough. There's 25% rate of discontinuation on that trial.
But tough with the hyperglycemia?
So it does take a lot of management with escalating metformin. These patients, they get rashes. Again, 25% had to treatment discontinue on that arm. And so I think we do have to be thoughtful about it. And I think the fact that we don't know what the activity is in patients who we predominantly would be pretreating with CDK4/6 inhibition is important. They do have the ongoing BELIEVE study, which is going to address this population and be, administering alpelisib to patients who progressed on CDK4/6 inhibition. So we'll get that second-line data to better understand the benefit in that population. So, I do think it is likely going to be practice-changing. I do think we will likely be needing to screen our patients for presence of PIK3CA mutations, which isn't in our current practice. And, I think, again, we will have to be thoughtful about it. But I am a little cautious because the two things that bother me are toxicity and lack of data in CDK4/6 progressors.